Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Zach Harper. We got Dave DeFore. We got Willie Gills, Will Guillory, because Josh Eustis, coward. Jay King, coward. Actually, I think they have legitimate excuses for that.
Jay King, they made the playoffs, right?
That's what it is. They made the playoffs. This is a play-in tournament. This is a play-in tournament exclusive show. That's what we'll be handling today. We're going to go all things playing as we have our matchups for this week. We've got the Lakers at the Pelicans. They get to stay in New Orleans for an extra couple of days. Lakers at Pelicans on Tuesday night. The Warriors at the Kings Tuesday night. And then Wednesday, we've got the Heat at the Sixers and the Hawks at the Bulls. But before we get into that, guys, something I noticed from the weekend, I want to ask you. We've got a three-way discussion here, okay? Three options. What is the most embarrassing part of the weekend? We have the Bucks and the Cavs being afraid of the two seed, right? The Knicks not afraid. Knicks are like, give us that two seed. We don't care. We'll play the Sixers. We'll play the Heat. We don't give a shit. Like, they're fine with it, right? So they're not afraid. But the Bucks, cowards. The Cavs, cowards. Nobody wanted that two seed. Or should you be more embarrassed if you are our beloved Poku? Who inbounded the ball to the ref. There's no other way to describe it. He inbounded the ball to the referee. Or is it the 76ers organization for that little ass statue of Allen Iverson that took over the timeline? Yes, I'm extending the weekend a little bit, but that little ass statue. And he, like, let's just start off with the statue, okay?
Please.
Now, this is apparently a thing they do at the practice facility, because why would you put full-size statues at the arena? I think they've got one for Wilt and they got one for Dr. J, and that's it. I'm sorry, Iverson gets that, right? Iverson should get
agreed.
That. But they have these little ass statues at the practice facility. But here's the thing. I'm a pretty big basketball nerd. You guys are pretty big basketball aficionados, right? I had no idea this was a thing. No, I've never seen this, heard of this before. So if you are Sixers PR, you've got to know, in the age of the internet, you have to always be checking against what could get roasted. And you can use your guy as an example. Joel Embiid roasts everything. Right? So you could bring in an expert on internet roasting, internet trolling, and you got to say, like, all right, I don't know how many people know about this practice facility, tiny figurine statue garden that we've got. Let's put out a hype video of it, like the whole week up, like just new parts of it, and players and old players talking about what an honor it is and how cool it is to walk in the facility. You see this, you know, Bobby Jones statue, all this stuff. I think that's what you have to do. Dave, if you're gonna unveil this little McFarlane figurine ass statue of Allen Iverson that everyone's calling Muggsy Bogues, like, you gotta plan ahead.
I will say it's a nice statue, and it doesn't seem to have any typos, right? Very sure, important.
Thank God.
Personally, like I like the idea that they make the small statues for the training facility. I want an Allen Iverson statue back where I'm from. So, like,
okay,
in Richmond, Virginia, you know, we have Monument Avenue, and we got rid of, after you know, something that shouldn't have existed, all those Confederate statues. I would like to have an Allen Iverson statue on Monument Avenue. I mean, that guy is a Virginia hero. So I think that was funny, right? Like, we love a good roast. But anytime you get Allen Iverson out in public looking happy, it's a good thing.
It's always a good thing, yeah.
What a good excuse to go make a bigger statue.
Absolutely. Will, it looks like something that would be hanging from a chain. That's the size of it. Like, that yeah,
is. Well, the face, I will say, the face looks very familiar if you grew up going to church.
Okay.
This took a turn I was not expecting.
It does. Iconography, you know.
I just want somebody to bring their fanny pack and just go steal all of those trophies away from the Sixers facility. I don't want to see any trophies at a practice. Who does trophies at a practice facility?
Starting lineup actually made those trophies.
That's what they started doing. I mean,
who does trophies at a practice? I want to know, at what point did AI know that this was going on? Was he like in the car being like, hey guys, y'all missed y'all turn. Wells Fargo is that way. Or was it like he just pulled up that day and it was like, oh, a trophy at the facility?
The facility isn't even in Philly. It's in New Jersey, isn't it? Is it in Camden? I know it's close, but it's not in the same state. As Esh points out in the chat, man, it's in front of the
come
practice.
Come on, man. AI did too much for that franchise, for that city.
Yeah.
A cultural icon in basketball. Forget the NBA. In basketball, that guy's an icon. And
I you argued give that this,
dude a little action figure trophy, man. They're down bad. I'm sorry.
Will, I argued this on NBA radio on Sunday, where I said, I think he's number one in Sixers lore. And I know that's at, like, saying a lot. Because you have Wilt and you have Dr. J and you have Charles Barkley, and certainly Barkley's post career has lifted him up. But I think, you know, he doesn't live in Philly, lives in Arizona half the time. He was an MVP with the Suns. I know he played longer with the Sixers, and that's how we were introduced to him. But I don't know that I think of him as a Sixer first. But that might, I'm willing to be open to that being an age thing. Like, I think you start seeing him regularly when he was on the Suns, at least, you know, out west where I was. But Iverson was the cultural icon, right? Iverson was the guy and impacted them in so many different ways, caused so many. And also, this may be of the times just because he was in a bigger media era. But I actually think Iverson is, like, if Wilt and Dr. J get one, and I have no problem with that, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think Iverson deserves one at the arena. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Iverson thing for sure. I mean, we kind of grew up with Iverson, right? Like, that's right. Like one of our
first
guys.
First jersey I ever bought with my own money was Allen Iverson. Yeah. Wow. The red Sixers jersey.
I would say that Dr. J for me is a Sixer, right? Like, that's the one I think of. I don't think of Wilt. I probably think of Wilt more as a Laker, even though I never watched him at all. But for Iverson, yeah, I mean, it does make sense to me. If you're going to have statues of Wilt and Dr. J, yeah, get the AI statue.
Yeah, we got to do that.
Although I got to, man, is the statue turning into the tribute video? I'm not saying everybody's getting one, but everybody's getting a statue. It's a lot of statues.
I think the Lakers are the ones making us feel this way, but also the Lakers probably have the most legends. But yeah, that whole front
the
area.
The statue industrial is complex littered is like infiltrated the NBA.
I can't lie, man. I love Kobe as much as the next guy, and I don't want the Lakers fans to come and get me.
Uh-oh.
But three trophies for one dude feels slightly excessive. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. But I'm going to go and look at every Kobe statue and take pics with them and post them on my IG. So I'm a complete hypocrite here. But I feel like three trophies for one guy feels slightly excessive. I don't know. But I still love it.
As long as it's not another Ronaldo statue.
Yeah. Just, again, that was Will Guillory. That was not Zach Harper or Dave DuFour on that Kobe statue. Thank I you. Say give him yes. 1,000. don't want to deal with any of that shit this week. What about the cowardice for the 2 seed? Do you blame the Bucks and the Cavs for wanting no part of that? I mean, the Cavs, I think, are banking on the idea of, all right, we'll get Orlando in the first round, and they're too young to know what to do, and so now we can kind of punch our ticket to the second round. Now, I think that's risky. I think Orlando's very good and has a good chance against them. But is that smart cowardice? What is it, Dave?
I mean, it's definitely cowardice, and it's – this is why I think the Knicks are going to go on this run, right? Like, we've loved the Knicks all year, and a lot of it is because they always seem to have less talent, at least on paper, but they out-effort the talent. I mean, how
and
many
games? They're smart as hell, man. That team is smart.
Yes. They know their jobs. Like, I talk about their offensive rebounding a lot. These guys just are relentless attacking the glass. I mean, they're just easy to love. And again, for going for the 2 seed, like, that in and of itself explains how, like, why we love the Knicks. The Cavs, it's tricky, man, because, like, the Cavs, I think, are just not as good as they expected to be at this point in the year, and they are playing scared. But for the Bucks, I just think it's weak. You got to try to win those games. The Bucks have not been good enough to play around with the seedings. They need to just be trying to win as many games as possible heading into the playoffs. They need some good momentum. And frankly, man, like, the Pacers are not a good matchup for them.
Well, Malik Beasley all. Did say back in, like, January.
Yeah, guarantee.
Like, yeah, guarantee. It's gonna be a tough one for the Pacers if that matchup happens. Well, here we are, Malik.
Here we are.
Yeah. I mean, the Giannis question looms over the Bucks, you know, entire next week, right? Like, if he can go,
Shams said that's up in the air for, I think, Sunday is their first game against the Pacers, and that's still up in the air as of right now. And then this may just be PTSD of KD, but I am just worried about him coming back and something bad happened.
That's the first thing that came to my mind when that injury popped up, is just the fear of bringing him back too soon. And we know Giannis is the type of guy who wants to play through an injury. He wants to beat the timeline. But knowing just, man, his future is so much bigger than this year, and making sure that he's healthy for the long term, and knowing just how much they depend on him. I mean, I don't think they're anywhere near the same team without Giannis out there. They're not athletic. They can't get to the rim as frequently. Their defense isn't as stout. I think they're going to have some real problems with the Pacers without Giannis out there. And I think there's going to be some real pressure on them to get him back because of the uncertainty of what the summer looks like if they do go out in the first round, you know, for the second year in a row. And you fire Bud, you bring in Dame, and you think that solves all your problems. And you end up right in the same spot you were last year, minus, you know, Jimmy Butler dropping 50 on your head. But I think
it might be Siakam dropping 50 on your head,
might
right?
Might be Aaron Nesmith dropping 50 on your head in round one. Who knows? But no, I think it's a real dark place right now for the Bucks. I mean, they've been playing. We've talked about it a whole lot. You know, losing to the Wizards, losing to the Blazers. They're losing to all the worst teams in the league. They can't figure the defense out. They're like, hey, whenever your solution is giving Pat Beverly more minutes and putting him in a starting lineup, I think you're in a pretty bad place. I think they're in a real danger zone. And I think I'm going to be really concerned watching them about, you know, how much pressure they feel to bring Giannis back just to save their season, and how that's going to affect his long-term future. So, yeah, I think and then we're talking about the Pacers, a team that wants to score 150 every night.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're going to be walking up and down. If you're going to play the Pacers, you got to play a certain pace. You got to play a certain style, and you got to be healthy to keep up with how they want to play. I think it's a big concern with Giannis and with the Bucks overall.
By the way, the Pacers dropping 157 on the Hawks on Sunday was the fourth time they've dropped 150 in a game this year. Ties an all-time record for most of the season, 150. I think the other one
three times on the Hawks this season.
if
three times
if
on the Hawks.
Yo, I'm done. I apologize, Atlanta. I know you want. I'm so done with this Hawks team. Like, I want everyone out. I don't even have time. I'm just sick of watching them. I start to believe going into every season, I'm like, there's too much talent on this team not to be good. And nope, they're bad every year. I don't care. They can win the play-in tournament for all. I don't care. It's not a validation of anything. It's a bad idea. Best thing is they can get smoked by the Bulls by 40 and just be forced to blow this thing up.
And the Bulls. Hey, listen, man, the Bulls might give it to them.
They play hard, man. They play really hard.
Again, that Knicks game. Again, like, one of the things that stood out was, I mean, the Bulls had no incentive there.
Yeah. Yeah, they're playing for nothing. Yeah.
And they're pushing. Like, that's good competition.
Maybe they were inspired by Dante DiVincenzo playing 52 minutes and 31 seconds of a 53-minute game.
Well, he knew he was about to get a week off, right? Tibbs is like, all right, we're going to get some extra work in.
I don't think he had a choice. You say he knew he was going to get a week. I don't think he had a choice at all. I am being threatened by Andrew Schlecht. You guys can't see it, but I have to throw in instead of Poku, I've got to throw in Thanasis. Missing a dunk in Orlando, which whatever happens, but the Magic bench just erupts in laughter because it's on their end of the floor. Poor Thanasis. I am starting to feel a little bad. It's not going to stop me from making jokes, but I do feel a little bit bad. But is that worse than Poku?
No. The Poku thing. Although I will say this, look, Poku's in Charlotte now, right? Like, and in the South, you know what we say? Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. Bless his skinny-ass heart.
That poor man. I mean, look, you know, before the show, you were like, well, maybe he's colorblind.
It might be. You know, that's my theory now. Yeah.
I don't know.
That's my new favorite Poku theory. I think my real question here is, would you rather watch a Poku Thanasis one-on-one game or Bulls-Hawks?
Oh, Bulls-Hawks. I'll at least Bulls-Hawks. Get to see Alex Caruso play and Jalen Johnson dunk on somebody and a botched alley-oop off the backboard. You know, like it's at least a little bit more entertaining for me.
Might be Poku's last NBA game, by the way.
Sign his ass to another, I mean, you...
Also, Boban, by the way. Boban, this was my favorite thing from the weekend.
The gambling issue? Do we think this was gambling? Do we think this is a Jonte Porter situation? As a chicken promotion?
The chicken conspiracy theory. I love this.
Boban, a man of the people. But that might have been Boban's last NBA game too. Yeah. You know, and what a way to go out. I love that so much. Feeding the people.
He's the best. He's the absolute best. All right, let's get into the most to lose rankings. Which teams have the most to lose this week in the play-in tournament? Again, for those who aren't familiar with the play-in tournament, 7-8 in each conference play. Winner gets the 7 seed. 9-10 in each conference play. The winner of that plays the loser of the 7-8 game, and the winner of that gets the 8 seed. If you lose the 9-10 game, take your ass home. We gave you enough chances to make the playoffs. You're done. So let's go with Will. Who is, maybe we should do like reverse order, 7-1. We'll all go round through. Will, who has the least to lose in this playing tournament?
We can make it easy. I think we all pretty much agree that Bulls Hawks, if they lose, if they win, I don't think any of us really care that much. Have fun over there.
That's a terrible bracket. Way to put it, man.
It is true, though.
We don't really care that much.
We don't really care. Y'all gotta do what y'all gotta do. Yeah, whoever wins, y'all probably gonna end up losing in the next game. God bless. Like Dave said, bless your heart. I hope you guys enjoy Cancun.
I throw the Kings in that group too, though, because I think that the Kings, well, mostly because they're a little bit stuck, right? Like Malik Monk, you still, you know,
he's got an issue there. He's not making it this week, right?
Like, right.
Yeah.
And you know, like, it's not like they can make any huge moves this summer, right? So what are they going to do if they are disappointed? They're not firing their coach. You know, Sabonis, they probably can't move on from. They're going to have to largely run out the same team next year. I think that in and of itself, you know, removes a little bit of pressure. I think next year there's huge pressure on the Kings.
Yeah.
Huge
pressure. See, I think the pressure is there this year because they decided to do nothing last summer, right? They which I have no problem with. I don't think it was a bad strategy. Like, look, we had this amazing year. Yeah. It ended in heartbreak because Steph dropped 50 on us at home, right? Let's run it back with the same group. See if this is a thing. See if we're still letting the being, beam.
And being good or okay is fine. Like that for that franchise, I think like if they could have 4 or 5 years of just we're in the mix, we're in the playoffs, we're in the play-in. Like that's such a huge turn for them.
It is.
You gotta move forward. But
yeah, it is. But I also think like we don't have. I mean, Vivek has been unnoteworthy for too long, and I do think that there is some worry in that Will of like Vivek, like you don't just stop being who you are, right? Vivek was very meddlesome and tinkering and saying weird things that we all laughed at and everything, and I don't think he's a bad owner, but I do think there is something to, if you feel that stagnation, that pressure from up top is going to come. I think you could say the same about the Knicks, right? James Dolan didn't stop being James Dolan. It's just they found people to kind of push him aside for now. But I think you have to be worried if the Knicks got out in the first round for whatever, or the second round, I think you might see James Dolan going, wait, why didn't we move forward? Right. So I do think there's a bit of that with the Kings. I think Dan Gilbert's going to be the same way with the Cavs. Like there's just a lot of pressure there. But I do think the Kings, like, all right, if you don't even make the playoffs this time, and granted, there are plenty of excuses/reasons that is justified, right? Tough Western Conference, two of your guards got hurt right before we got to the postseason. Like, I get all that, but that doesn't stop people from going, well, what the hell? I thought this was going to be better.
Right, and I think in the Western Conference, I think that pressure is going to be really unique. If you're like a younger team in that 7-8 range, like Kings, Pelicans, Utah, because Wemby's coming. He's going to start pushing all of y'all down. Memphis is going to be back next year with Ja Jaren and Desmond Bane. So the West is killer right now, and it's going to be even tougher next year and probably again the year after that. So if you're a team that's barely hanging in on the playing status now, and you're saying stuff like we can't really do much to change our roster, I think you're going to be in a really tough place because the West is just going to keep getting tougher and tougher. Yeah. Wimby's on his way to take this thing
Rockets
over.
Rockets are good.
Rockets
are going to keep getting better. So, I think it's going to be really tough just to survive in the West, man. And I think it's, I think we're gonna have to start having conversations like, man, if your star player's out for 2 weeks, you might be a playing team now, and that's just gonna be reality.
Memphis is gonna be back, right? Like like we saw when Ja's out there, they're good. They're legitimately good team.
They're good. So I think you gotta. I think, like you said, I think there's gonna be some pressure on some of these teams. Like, man, do we need to just make a move just so we can try to make a jump, so we can get out of this basement? You don't want to be like Portland and Utah, just hanging out at the bottom of the Western Conference bracket without really a path to the top. So I think the more of these teams, like I said, like the Pelicans, like the Kings, they keep hanging around in this playing field, I think there's going to be some whispers like, man, do we need to make a move to make a jump, because these teams around us are going to just keep rising.
Now, I've got the Pelicans pretty low on this. I have them as six on my rankings. You guys both have, I believe, a five on yours, right? I'm of the opinion, like, I get it. There's always this clicking, you know, this ticking clock with Zion and the Pelicans and all this stuff, and they're never healthy and all, like, I get all that. I just think what we saw out of Zion the last two and a half months, defensively, point forward, all that stuff, everything coming together, I think even if they lose, like, the Lakers are a bad matchup, right? Like, let's say they lose the Lakers and then the Warriors make it through and they lose the Warriors. One, I don't think that's a huge hit to, like, what the hell is going on with the Pelicans, right? Like, they had a little bit of bad luck, they had some bad matchups. And if they don't make the postseason, not that it's not a big deal, I just think they go into next season, Will, thinking we got something like now full season. And we're always talking about if they're healthy, but with what we saw out of Zion this year, Will, like, I just think that buoys them going into next season.
No, I completely agree. I think seeing Zion play the way he has the last 2 months, I think, is a game changer for this team. And I think it gives them a lot more comfort going into the offseason about what they can look like, what the path forward looks like. And, you know, our guy Sam Amick reported this morning that the Pels signed Willie Green to an extension recently. Mm-hmm. So there's stability there in the coaching staff. I don't expect them to make any moves as far as, you know, Brandon Ingram or CJ McCollum to shake things up. I think they feel really good about their culture and what they're building, and Zion kind of ascending into the number one guy that they need. I think that's been the biggest question about the Pelicans is, they got a lot of good pieces, but do they have a number one? Do they have a guy you can go into a playoff series and feel like he's going to be the best guy in that series? And I think the Zion we've seen as of late, not just the athleticism and the dunks, but like you said, the defense, I think, has gone to a different level. And when you have that with Herb Jones, with Jose Alvarado pressuring the ball the way they do, I think they can be really dangerous. I think they just kind of had a little bad luck with B.I. going out when he did, and having that stretch where they played Boston, Milwaukee, OKC, back-to-back-to-back, and they started racking up some losses. I think it kind of happened at an unfortunate time in the season, and they fell the way they did. And, of course, the Lakers loss was terrible. But I do think they're headed in the right direction. It doesn't feel like they're as stagnant. And I might feel a different way if they end up losing, you know, two playing games and look as bad as they did yesterday. But I do think that they're moving in the right direction. Zion's moving in the right direction. And I feel like they're going to feel pretty good about where they're at going into the offseason, regardless of how this thing ends. But like I said, it's just a matter of how do you go from the sixth best team in the West to number two? I think it's going to be a real question for a lot of these teams.
But here's the thing, though. They won 49 games. They would have been in the mix for the two seed in the East, right? Like, I mean, I think we also have to weigh this whole, like, is this a disappointment? Well, I guess, but they were in the mix all year. I mean,
damn near won 50 games.
It was the second most wins in franchise history. 49.
It's just the Western Conference. I don't really know how to put it in context. Like the amount of quality teams when you compare it to the East, the imbalance just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
I genuinely think if you have teams under 500 in the play-in tournament in the East, they should get replaced by the next two teams in the West.
That'd be perfect.
And we can't undersell this. This is with Wemby winning 12 games or whatever.
He won. Like, for the last time,
they're
going to
be way better. Yeah. He's going to get way better.
Yes, absolutely.
It's just the playoffs in the West. Every single round, we're going to be like, God, can't believe how much talent just got sent home.
Yeah,
the whole thing, and in the East, it's like, Orlando could make a run to the conference finals.
Dave, the two that we know, right? The two that we know in the West is Suns Wolves. Holy shit! And it's crazy. And it's Clippers, Mavs, holy shit. Like, that's lot of talent and a lot of success and storylines and everything on just both those series. That's before we even know who's going to be the 7 and 8 seed to take on the Thunder and Denver. This is where I'm a little bit of a hypocrite, because the next on my list is the Kings. I know I threw all those questions out there about, there's a pressure, but compared to the others, it's still, the Kings are still pretty low.
Yeah. They're going to have to make changes this summer, right? Like, I mean,
I agree.
I think so. Yeah. I don't know. I think there's something to the idea of when we're healthy, you know, it took 50 from Steph to drop us. And then, you know, assuming they lose the 9-10, which is not a guarantee for sure. But it does feel like, it didn't feel like growth with this team this year. It felt like, see, we're still really good, which is, like you mentioned, is a standard, especially for this organization that missed the playoffs from the time The Departed came out in movie theaters to last year. They didn't make the playoffs. Like, to then be so good as they were last year and then still really good this year despite battling some injuries. Having that baseline is validation on plenty of levels. But you mentioned the way the West is growing, right? Stagnation doesn't really work unless the stagnation is you're the Nuggets, and then, you know, you're just the champs and you have Jokic and it doesn't matter, right? That's stagnation that works.
Bored. I think boredom, which just, again, like we said, the Pelicans almost won 50 games this year and the Nuggets got bored.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. Next on my list is the Lakers, and you guys have them much higher, much higher. Dave, you've got them second most to lose. Will, you have the most with them as the most to lose. And let me just make the case for why I don't think they have much to lose. All right. I don't think LeBron's going anywhere. I'm not buying any of these. Like, I might retire. I'm going to go where Bronny goes, all this stuff. I'm not buying it. I think he's staying in LA. I think that's the best decision for him, both from a basketball standpoint and from a business standpoint. And so I also
don't think he's legally eligible to go to like Gonzaga. If he's going to follow Bronny.
Well, if anyone could find a way, you know, I do think LeBron could figure that out.
NIL money would be amazing for LeBron.
NIL money be legit. Would it? And so I don't think there's a real threat there. I look at this team, I'm like, yeah, not that good. Like, they're not bad, but they're not like, ooh, maybe everything goes right, they can win they can contend for a title. I don't see it with them.
Yeah, and the thing about college basketball now is, if LeBron did go to Gonzaga, he probably wouldn't even be the oldest player on his team with the way the transfer portal's been working lately. Man.
Mark Few's got a couple of senior citizens out there ready to go. Those
COVID seasons, man. They sneak COVID up on
seasons,
you.
Man.
LeBron is younger than Drew Timmy. Like, I do think Drew comes back.
I think my man Armando Bacot from North Carolina is just going to retire from basketball once he's done playing.
They're going to give him a gold watch. Like,
they get a Moroccan chair at senior night.
Yes.
He's going to walk straight into the lead assistant job, you know.
But no, I think with I kind of have the Lakers and the Warriors, I think, tied at the top, because I think those are the two teams where I say if they don't make it out the plan, there will be changes with those teams. And I think I can say that more than anybody else we've talked about so far. I think especially with the Lakers, I think there's this constant pressure with LeBron, with AD, and if they go out and out and they lose two playing games, I think with the Warriors, it's like they might lose one playing game. They might, you know, send one of the older guys out, but Steve Kerr isn't going anywhere. Steph isn't going anywhere. But with the Lakers, if they lose twice in the play-in, I think we're going to see some real cryptic quotes from LeBron.
Yeah.
I think the seat under Darvin Ham is going to be very hot. Mm-hmm. I think
it's an ejection seat at this point.
Right. We're at the end of Too Fast, Too Furious, and they're pushing the button, ejecto seat, cuz. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That seat disappears, and there's an alligator.
Yeah.
Pond underneath it.
I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to pull off a trade. Do you go get Trae Young? Do you try to get involved in the Donovan Mitchell sweepstakes? I think there's going to be a lot of talk about that. And, you know, we kind of saw with the Russell Westbrook trade, how that works out if you go all in on a big three with a bunch of minimums. Yeah. But I do think they're going to be under real pressure to figure something out, man, because LeBron is going to be 40. Like, it's not even a joke anymore. Yeah. He's literally going to be 40, and you got to figure this thing out before it's too late.
But Dave, isn't I look at that as like, oh, they're gonna have to make some changes. I kind of think that's a good thing. I don't know if that, if to me that lessens the pressure. I'm like, yeah, maybe you should make some changes. I don't think this team is like, maybe I, here's an idea. Get some shooters around LeBron.
Yeah.
Like this, like it's a crazy concept. And I know they shot the three ball well this year, but they don't shoot any of them. They don't shoot any right. threes. And I'm like, maybe, you know, maybe get some shooters around LeBron.
Well, I think Cam Reddish was the answer.
Surprisingly not.
I do think there's going to, I mean, the coaching issue is number one, right? Like yeah. you got to have someone in there that's going to be a little bit more creative offensively. When they're out there connected and playing well, their defense is very good. Anthony Davis was excellent this year and yeah. he's in the running for defense player of the year. I mean, Rudy Gobert's got it locked up, but yeah. AD is going to be,
he's on the ballot probably.
Yeah.
Well, he's maybe, second or third. Maybe not. I don't know. Wemby Bam is tough, to, a great tough season. To clear. Yeah.
And so like, we know what they can be, at least their best pieces at their peak, but Will, like you said, man, like, as amazing as LeBron has been this year, I mean, I still think somehow, I don't know how he's this good.
It's crazy.
At some point, it is going to be an issue. Like, we do know.
No.
Unless
I don't think so. He's just going to be this good forever. There's nothing we can. It's just when he gets
Well, bored. The human body. Now, science has come a long way. Okay. Maybe there's
prove
like.
He's human.
I was going to say, maybe there's some stuff happening we don't know about.
Uh-oh.
But, like you said, very, very simple. Put some shooters out there, get guys who can defend. And I think a little bit, this is a little bit of fool's gold from that conference finals run last year, right? Like you bought in a little bit too much into what was a great run with some very favorable matchups for you. And they're going to have to go to the drawing board one way or the other this summer. If they get out of the play-in, I don't expect them to get out of the first round. So they've got some pretty big, I think they've got some big decisions to make anyway, but yeah, LeBron's not leaving. But the pressure to me is, how long can LeBron play at this level? Because can you count on him being this good this time next year?
Well, Dave, they're just going to pass the torch to AD. What do you?
For what? To do what?
To burn the house down. That's to do what? Set fire to the house.
And here's why I zag a little bit. I don't know how much maybe this season might be fool's gold with the way LeBron and AD have remained healthy all year.
Right. All-Star yeah, Reeves, that's fair.
Played all 82 games. D'Angelo Russell has been incredible post All-Star break, making every single three he takes. So maybe the version of the Lakers we're seeing right now is the best case scenario. And how scary might that be for the Lakers if you come in the next season and AD goes back to missing 20 games? D'Lo loses a little bit of his luster. Austin Reeves maybe isn't there for a couple games. And when you look at that bench, if they lose any of those guys, it's a real drop-off. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a real concern, is that you got pretty much the best-case scenario with your main guys this year, and it got you the 8 seed. And again, we're getting back to the conversation of the West is just going to keep getting better. And I think climbing into that 2-3-4 range in the West is going to be an uphill climb for all of these teams if you don't make real changes.
At what point do we need to have some sort of talent, allocation draft for the Eastern Conference? Like, this is actually getting kind of sad because the Lakers would have been the fifth seed in the East.
It's been like this for 20 years. We had one year a couple years ago where it was like, oh, the East caught up. No, you know what this is? All right. I don't want to piss off our international listeners. This is international basketball. Okay. Where every once in a while we're like, oh, maybe the other side of it's coming up. Nope. The West is Team USA. When they want to be, they're the fucking best. Okay.
We need to study on this. I don't, it doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I mean? It's like, remember how the NFC just won just all those Super Bowls for a long time?
Is it a weather thing? Because the weather is better out west. I mean, no, like, maybe. The weather's not great in OKC, right? It's cold and tornado and stuff.
Yeah. It's just that the young stars just happen to be over there, right? As Zion, as Ja Morant, Wemby, they just happen to land with Western Conference teams. And I think we've been having this conversation a lot lately, amongst the Pelicans, because I think a lot of people are kind of looking forward to the potential of Seattle and Vegas coming in. And I think it's going to be a real fight behind the scenes of who's getting moved to the East.
Who's going to
win the lottery and get moved to the East and have to compete with New Orleans?
I mean, Memphis has to be moved to the East. They have. Yeah. They're in fucking Tennessee. Like, that's crazy.
I think New Orleans will step up and raise their hand and be like, we were in the Eastern Conference.
Well, then
and we got moved to the West.
That's no, then I think it would
you
be.
You only move one team.
I think it would be New Orleans versus. Well, no, I No, you would
like to move
would,
one.
If you add two to the West, it would be 17 versus 15. So then you move one over, so it'd be 16.
Oh,
16.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. But I'm thinking like Minneapolis is going to be like, hey, man, we're right next to Milwaukee. We have no reason to be over here. We're right next to Chicago. There's no reason for us to be in the Western.
You got
to
think like, Minnesota would be in the conversation as well. The dividing line, right? And I think that leaves Minnesota and New Orleans in the West, and it moves. Well, Memphis.
They're going to have to make sure that the arena is on the east side of the river. Mississippi does run through the city, so they're just going to have to move that arena to the east. Nothing we can do.
Where is your statue for your player practice facility? Where is that located?
Where's the Anthony Davis statue in New Orleans?
All right, let's keep going. So Will and I are simpatico on this in terms of the Sixers being the third most to lose. But Dave, you have them with the most to lose.
Yeah, well, mainly because of Joel Embiid, right, and his knee. And I still, like, I'm so nervous about him coming back for this, right? And, like, to come back and potentially aggravate the injury is huge. But I also think I understand it because at this point, like, he's 30.
Yeah.
This is not 24-year-old Joel Embiid saying, oh, man, I can miss this time because we'll be back next year. Because you don't know at this point. Like, this is now... Yeah. We're looking at the other side of the hill in his career. I mean, with his injury history, do we expect him to play till 40 like LeBron? I don't. Yeah. And so I think that what you've got is if you don't get out of the play-in, you now have to go into a summer where you've got way more questions than answers about what your team is. And you've made some pretty big commitments. I mean, the Buddy Hield trade was a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, and... As good as this year was for Joel Embiid, and I think it was great for the Sixers until he got hurt. I just, if he comes back and if he gets hurt in this game, or if they just lose it, I do think that you run into just, it's a cloud hanging over him all summer long. And what do you need to do to get over the hump in the East? Because you can't just say it's Joel's health because he's proven that this is who he is. He can't get over that hump.
I agree with that.
My initial list had Philly at one, and I kind of moved them down just because I think you can walk away from the season with the excuse of, well, Embiid missed a lot of time. That's why we dropped off. We would have been a contention for the two seed if he played the whole year. But I think
that's every 60, year. They're on a 65-win pace when he played, which is, I mean, that's crazy.
And his numbers earlier this year were even better than they were last year when he won MVP. Yeah. So, I mean, we've seen him, you know, play at an extremely high level, but I think Dave's exactly right that there's a real question about how often can you see that guy and how long can he sustain that? When we're talking about big guys with bad knees, the history isn't great, right? And it's not like it ends up getting better as you get older. So I think that's going to be a rare question there. But I think I ended up moving them down just because I think they were going into this offseason regardless, wanting to make a big move. You saw that with them not signing Tyrese Maxey to an extension, opening up that cap space. They want to get in the Paul George conversation. I think they're probably going to be one of the Donovan Mitchell teams. I think they want to be in that. So I think there's not going to be like a pressure of, oh, man, we lost in the plan, so we got to make this move. I think they wanted to be there regardless. So I think they're going to be a really interesting team to watch. But Dave's right, man. It doesn't matter what they do. If Joel Embiid isn't right, then it all just goes to hell. So they got to figure that out.
I do think the what I agree with Will, like, I think they could just be like, yeah, injuries, you know, we were great before. Which, Dave, you're right. They can say that pretty much every year. But I like, it's still an easy excuse to make that takes pressure off. And then I think, too, the fact that they have so much cap flexibility and roster flexibility this summer, it makes it harder. I mean, we're you know, we talked about Wemby. Like, players are going to want to go play with Wemby pretty soon, if not this summer, right? Do they feel that if you could guarantee them Joel Embiid was going to be healthy, they would want to go play with Joel Embiid? But you can't, and so are you going to hitch your wagon to a broken axle? You know, like, it's just, I don't know if, I don't know what that's going to look like. I'm sure they have a plan. I'm sure it's a good plan, but things can change when Embiid keeps getting hurt time and time again. And so, like, you know, like you guys said, he's 30 now. Like, it's, there's not this, oh yeah, but for years to come, he's got a chance to be this. That window is pretty tight. I just think that cap flexibility and what Daryl Morey can possibly do with that, despite rumors that he is a liar, is something that, you know, you at least gives them a little bit of hope. You guys have the Heat much lower than I have. I have the Heat higher on this list. Heat are number two on my list of most to lose because I think that there's some, I don't think everyone's as bought in as last year. And I think that there is not a fissure in the culture, but the culture's been rattled a little bit, maybe not as embraced a little bit. And I, you know, Jimmy's had an awful year. Man, like
the best kept secrets in the league right now is Jimmy's not the same.
He hasn't played that much, and he hasn't been that guy. Now, I am willing to be open to the idea that he just needed to shoot a commercial on a horse, and now he's locked in for the playoffs. He's going to be that guy again, right?
He definitely didn't care this season.
It didn't seem like it, man. Like there's part of it where what they did last year with almost getting knocked out of the play-in and then making the NBA Finals is kind of like a badass lore of Heat culture. But also, and I think it sets a bad precedent of, we don't really need to care. We'll get to the play-in and we'll be fine. And you just don't know what's going to happen with that stuff. They've got good pieces on the roster. But there's part of me where, you know, everyone loves to throw shots at, like, oh, well, you just play. Like, yes, I believe in Heat culture. I genuinely believe in that organization. This year?
Well,
I don't feel confident they're even going to make it through the play-in. Like, I'm not. Like, I think they could be the definition of fuck around and find out.
If they don't believe in it, how do you keep believing in it?
Right.
You know?
And again, maybe the switch gets flipped when the playoffs and the play-in come around. Maybe, like, I'm open to that, where they're just the guy at the bar that needs to get punched in the mouth to have a good night, right? Like, I don't know. But I just, there's something about this team compared to last year's team that does not feel even close to the same.
I mean, the Jimmy Butler question is the biggest one, right? What does he look like in this game in particular, the game against the Sixers? Because, I mean, this is a signature, at least in my head, I see that they're playing the Sixers, and I think about Jimmy Butler. Oh, he's going to be epic. We're going to get a 40-point game or something out of Jimmy Butler. But he just has been bad all year, and just indifferent is the weirdest thing about this Heat team this year. You know, you mentioned Bam as far as defensive player of the year. I think Bam has been the most consistent player, obviously, for them.
Yeah.
Tyler Hero is just kind of like nothing for them.
Right.
I'm confused as to who can step up if it's not going to be Jimmy Butler. Like, they don't have anyone else.
Right. Like, Hawkins is really good, but is he a guy that takes over? Probably not.
Yeah. I feel like he hit the rookie wall too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's like a month ago, probably.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like it's just, I don't understand how many times I can turn on the Heat game and it's the start of the fourth quarter and Jimmy has 12 points. Like, it feels like all the time that happens.
Three shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like you see Jimmy driving to the lane and he's just dribbling out and kicking it out to the perimeter. Mm-hmm. Or he's just looking for a foul. And it's just like, of course, we've seen Jimmy be able to turn it on. He's probably going to have a big game.
If you tell me he's locked in, I'll believe.
But right. I've talked about this on the pod previously, is that if this season ends poorly, he's going to be entering the final year as his contract. And if you're Jimmy Butler, we know how he rocks. He's going to walk into that building and say, I want a max. And if you're the Miami Heat and you're staring at being the eighth seed 2 years in a row, I don't know how you could be super comfortable giving Jimmy Butler the max, seeing kind of the direction of where things are going right now with your team. So then there's going to be a natural friction there. And we know Jimmy Butler, if there's one thing about him, he loves him some friction. He doesn't mind living in a space where there's a lot of friction.
Pat Riley did it to Dwayne Wade. Right. Exactly. Like, it's not like he's afraid to do this to a cultural icon or a franchise icon. Like, he did it to Wade. He's like, nah, not paying you what you
next
want.
Next season, like, is Jimmy Butler's age 35 season. I mean, he turns 35 in September.
Yeah. By the way, last year in the 7-8 matchup with the Hawks that they lost, he had 21 points, 9 assists, 3 turnovers, 6 of 19 from the field. 6 of 19. Like, it just, he didn't have a good game and they lost. Now they pulled it out and they made the finals. So that's important. And I think, I mean, this Celtics team seems a lot more foolproof than last year's Bucks team if they end up in that 1-8 matchup. Right now, I think the Heat are in the Celtics' head a little bit, just in terms of needing to exercise demons, but They were in the Bucks head in 2021. They got swept, right? Like they were.
Right.
If that matchup does happen, Celtics fans are going to be like, "Thank God we got rid of Grant Williams. He's not going to fire up Jimmy Butler this time. Thank God."
Who's that guy? They just got to make sure. I don't know. Shea Brissett doesn't come to the court or something. I don't know who that guy is.
Peyton Pritchard.
Peyton Pritchard. Yeah.
Keep your mouth shut. Yeah.
Don't shut up. Yeah.
Don't piss off Jimmy.
Does Xavier Tillman know the drill? You can't do this. Like you got to stay away.
Do not fire Jimmy up.
So Zach, the team that you think has the most to lose is the Warriors.
Yeah, man. I look the you know, not to sound all internet-y, but the vibes have been weird for 2 years, right? Like for various reasons. There was the Draymond punching Jordan Poole and that whole thing. This team isn't good at home, which is a concerning issue to me. They're entering what's probably going to be some very weird negotiations with Klay Thompson this summer. The Draymond issue, I think, has gotten to its limit. And not that they're going to like, oh, we got to get rid of him now or anything. It's just, if you can't get rid of him and he keeps pulling the same shit, what, like, that's bad for the, it's just bad for the momentum that this team tries to build up. I didn't see at one point this season, at no point should I think like, yeah, they're playing championship basketball. Like none. And that's the fall of a dynasty is always ugly. And this might be the start of that. If they don't make it through the play-in tournament, like there's no reason a healthy Steph and a healthy Draymond and a healthy Klay and all these, like these guys, this whole team is healthy. And there is no reason why a healthy Warriors team should not be in the postseason. And quietly, they're in danger of not making it.
And quietly, Steph has not been the same guy since the All-Star break. He was incredible to start the year, but his numbers have dropped significantly. And I think he's played a lot of minutes this year. And I think you watched during some of these games, he just looks worn out. He just looks tired from the burden they've put on him all season. And I don't think that gets better as you ramp up these playoff moments. And the minutes are going to have to go up for Steph, and the pressure on him to score is going to go up. I don't think that's going to get any better. I think it's a very dangerous spot here for the Warriors, and I do think it feels like this is kind of the inflection point where they either figure it out or something's going to change. I think we've been kind of waiting the past couple years for the shoe to drop and the Warriors to finally break up the big three, but I do think this is the year. If you kind of fall as short as they did this season, and you go out kind of, if they lose to the Kings in that 9-10 playing game,
I think that's bad, man. Like
that's really bad.
That's no offense to the Kings. This is about what the Warriors are and what the Warriors are supposed to be.
I mean, I think the Warriors being the 10 seed and in the play-in again is enough of a sign that things need to change.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a part of this is Kevon Looney fell off a cliff. Just fell off a cliff as far as production goes. And then there's some of this is like Steve Kerr stuff, like not enough Trayce Jackson-Davis early on when you needed some size and athleticism. Maybe not enough Kuminga early on and in the last few seasons. So like, how reliable has he been this year? You know, it's hit or miss. He had a really good stretch where he was averaging over 20 a game, but then he had some stinkers. And how much of that can you rely on come playoff?
The whole Wiggins issue, right?
Right. Like Wiggins barely playing, you know, when he's out on the court sometimes. So they've got just extenuating circumstances. And part of it is maybe this is just actually how things end every time. And it's, you know, the fall of the Roman Empire didn't happen in one day. Happened over the course.
Oh,
it was years.
It was a long weekend. It was a long weekend.
It was a 4 day. Yeah. It was a Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. Somebody partied too hard, but you know, it took decades. And you know, for basketball teams, especially ones that are as great as the Warriors, you know, and Steph Curry has taken a little bit of a step back this season. Even his numbers from the beginning of the season, I think the numbers were great. But if you've watched as much Steph Curry as we all have, I think you see stuff where it's like, well, wait, all right, he would have finished that 3 seasons ago,
right? He did tweak his ankle, you know.
Yeah.
So that might be part of it, but it was looking a little rough before then.
Yeah, and he's still still like a top 6 guy in the league, but still he's amazing. But it's just the difference in the NBA, man. You know, Jokic is the best player in the world, and I don't even think it's close, right? Like Steph Curry is head and shoulders below him. So,
and that's the thing. There's nothing they can do about that, right? There's no answer that they have, which is the problem.
And they made no real changes last year. See, this is a King situation, but worse to me, because you have championship level players on your roster and you did not put a championship level roster around them.
What happened to the Chris Paul bump? I thought that happened everywhere he went.
And that's a guy that's entering free agency this summer, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, do they bring him back on a smaller contract? If not, what do you do? One of those
guys got to go play with Wemby.
Go play with Wemby or go play with the Magic. One of those guards we're going to throw the Magic and be like, hey, help them grow up.
I think that would be a great convo Chris Paul can have. Look, wife, I mean, we've been living in Cali for some years, Phoenix for a couple.
You ever been to
San Antonio? You like barbecue? What's up? Pack up the kids. Let's go to San Antonio.
All right, let's do some rapid fire playing questions before we close this out. Question number one, Will, I'll start with you. How much does the regular season series matter?
I think it's losing significance with each year just because of the injuries and just because I think we've seen so many of these teams look so different in March than they did in November. I really don't even look at it that often, to be honest with you, because I think so many times you can pick apart, well, this guy didn't play in that game or that game happened to be on the second game of a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. So I really don't care about it much at all. But maybe with younger teams it matters because they usually have all of their guys in place. But I think this time of the year, especially if you played like in October, your first two games, those games are completely meaningless.
Yeah. Dave?
The Bucks and the Pacers haven't played since the 3rd of January.
Yeah. I mean,
and
did they even have Siakam at that point?
No.
Oh, so, and they had Buddy Hield. And, you know, so a lot has happened. I mean, Doc Rivers was doing TV.
It's my favorite story of the season, man. It just, the whole Doc Rivers thing is my favorite story of the season.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh my God. It's been too much content. I can't keep up with all the jokes that we're supposed to make on at his expense. I look at it. It matters to me in terms of matchups, but if you're like, well, this team went 4-0 against, I could give a shit. Like that, it doesn't do anything to me. And like you guys said, like some of these happened long time ago, months ago. All right, question number two. Who do you think the team's tanking the first game to get a matchup they prefer? Lakers tanking the game to get OKC in round one to avoid the Nuggets. You see the Heat wanting to get punched right in the mouth by the Celtics.
That would be very Heat of them.
It would be very Heat. And then just get absolutely decked.
I see the Warriors tanking their game against the Kings so they don't have to play.
Yes. So they can just go home. Yes.
They don't want to go to Oklahoma City. They are tanking.
Add me to the list of people who do not want to go to Oklahoma City. Shout out to my guy Schlecht. They don't think any of us want to go to Oklahoma City.
We all would have gone if Poku was still there, but he's not.
I love Oklahoma City. You guys are
I've never been. I've never been, so I can't. I can't go.
If they make the conference finals, we should all go, and we'll just record it at Schlecht's house. It'll be great.
Schlecht's backyard be a great time.
I mean, I think the Lakers one is funny. If the Lakers flirted with disaster in order to try to set up to be cute, right?
I would not pick them against the Thunder, but there is something about like I think AD would give Chet hell, right? A healthy AD, like that's a bad matchup for Chet because he's just too physical and they don't have the size to really battle that. No offense to Bismack Biyombo, but if they dropped that game to the Pelicans because they just wanted to avoid Denver completely, I wouldn't blame them. But then if it meant that they end up getting knocked out of the postseason by like the Warriors and Kings, I still would be like, I get it, man. You didn't want to play the Nuggets. Like
we know how that Nuggets series goes, right?
It goes badly.
It's a sweep. But at least
taking 40 footers off of 1 foot.
Two home playoff games if you go and get swept by the Nuggets, right?
That's true.
And this is a mom and pop operation we're running out here.
Yeah.
So I would not play with that
that playoff.
No,
game
you need that money.
See, I thought I was gonna get the Lakers heat. Now Dave's calling them a mom and pop operation.
Well, you can, you know, this is different. You're getting the Kobe heat. You're getting that's a different
that's
heat.
That's a different level of heat. But I do think I would almost agree with you, but I do think that the LeBron and AD get a different type of enjoyment of treating the Pels like their little brothers. I've seen it so often when they come to the Smoothie King Center, they treat those games like it's game seven of the finals. I mean, we kind of know why, because of the New Orleans fans hate AD so much.
Yeah.
But I think they come to New Orleans and they turn it up to 10. And I think that's why this matchup is so scary for the Pelicans, because this is literally the last team you wanted to play in a do or die situation is LeBron James and Anthony Davis, because they just destroy. They don't just beat the Pelicans, they destroy them the more majority of the times they face them. And I think they're gonna be fired up again to play that game. So I think, yeah, maybe they would consider this, but once they saw the Pelicans, they're like, nah, we're not losing to those dudes.
Yeah,
we're mushing their face in the sand just like we always do.
Did the Pelicans tank to get the Lakers in a play-in game to
now that they can get to the eighth seed?
That's right.
Yeah. They were afraid of the Wolves. That doesn't sound right. all right. Which team of the play-in teams can you see having the best chance of making a playoff run, a deep one, like the Heat and the Lakers did last year? Lakers making it, well, legally making it to the conference finals. I still say if you get swept, you don't get to say you were in the conference finals. And the Heat making it to the finals where they got gentlemen swept. Dave, who do you think has the best chance of making a deep run?
I mean, I think this one's pretty obvious, and it's the 76ers. Joel Embiid. Yes, man. Look,
if when's Joel he been Embiid, good in the playoffs?
What is it? I mean, hey, now, hold on. Now, they were a Kawhi Leonard incredible bounce away.
They went to that was going to overtime. That was going to overtime.
But maybe having a different story about Joel Embiid. But mm-hmm. I just, when you look at what they have, right, they now have their full team together. And I know that this is – if he's healthy and if he right. can play. But if he can, I mean, Joel Embiid is a game changer, obviously, on both ends. And so you could see them maybe get, you know, coming out and giving the Knicks a lot of trouble because of Embiid. Maxey can get hot. I just think that when you look at the play-in teams, the one that has the best player is the 76ers. When Embiid's healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely. I just don't think he's healthy. Like I don't think he can be in shape. You know, maybe healthy's not the right word. There's something with his body that's not going to be good enough. Yeah. Right.
What does it look like when he's playing minutes 30 to 36?
But they just keep winning. They just keep winning when he's on the floor. So maybe I'm completely wrong on this. Yeah.
I think Embiid and Maxey are a terrifying matchup for the Knicks for all the reasons y'all just said. And I think that's kind of the worst case scenario for them, because Tibbs is already playing those dudes 48 minutes. He's going to be like, can I add two more minutes on the Josh Hart somehow? Just because I think it feels like they've been pressing so hard just to get here. I don't know if they have another level to reach.
Well, that's the problem with Thibodeau teams, right? They play at that top gear for like the last 3 months of a season, then there's no extra gear. Now it's still maybe good enough, that top gear, but they don't have that extra gear to go to because he pushes them to that limit anyway.
Yeah. No doubt.
I think it's a bad matchup for the shape of this Sixers team. I like this, but I also just like this Knicks team a lot. Like, I don't know.
Who can make a run? I mean, is it Miami or are we out on them?
I'm going to say Miami just because we've seen it. Mm-hmm. But I also, it feels a little bit like, yeah, I'm gonna go see Fast 10 because, you know, I've seen the other nine and like, was it good? No, but you know, it was entertaining enough. Like it does feel a little bit like that at this point. But yeah, I mean, look, if it was last year's Heat team in this year's play-in tournament, I would feel great about them. It does feel different. I actually wonder, Will, like, could if the Pelicans fell to 8? And then they get that first round matchup with the Thunder. Could you see them getting through that, getting through either Clippers, Mavs, and getting to the conference finals in the West?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a better possibility than them getting through the Nuggets for sure. And I do think they feel pretty good about their matchup against the Thunder just because of their size on the wings. I think especially with Zion playing the way he has of late, I think the Thunder don't really have a clear matchup for him. I think Lu Dort will probably get a lot of those minutes, but I do think with just the burst and the defense that Zion's bringing, I think that they kind of gives them a different level they can reach. So I think, and then of course the Thunder are very young team. They haven't been in these situations. So if they end up losing a game one at home or a game two at home, and you go into New Orleans with the possibility of falling behind in that series, I think that's going to be a different pressure that they haven't experienced before. So I do think if they can get everything together, that's what I wrote, you know, this morning about the Pelicans. I think when everything's kind of clicking, they look as good as anybody in the league. When Brandon Ingram's playing well, Zion, Herb Jones is out there making defensive plays, they can beat anybody in the league on any given night. But I think the big concern with the Pelicans is that they just can't sustain that level for more than three or four games for whatever reason. It's just crazy for that team to win 49 games and they haven't won more than four games in a row at any point this season.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's a really crazy stat.
Yeah, it's like they play really well and then it stops. They've had like four or five different four-game winning streaks this year that ended with them getting beat by 20 in the fifth game. It's happened over and over again. So I think when you see the Pels on a good night, certainly they look like they could beat the Thunder. But I think over a seven-game series, I think the Thunder can establish the consistency that the Pels just haven't shown lately.
Well, and Jonas can't be on the court against the Thunder at all.
I think you could throw him out there early and just see if he gets Chet into foul trouble, right? Like, but yeah, that's a bad matchup for sure. All right, last one. What's the most fun outcome for this play-in tournament?
Go ahead.
I'm here for the jokes, right? So I want Sixers Knicks. I want Heat Celtics.
Yes.
I want Lakers Nuggets. Even though it's a funny sweep, it's still, you know, it's a sweep. It's a funny sweep to me. And then, no offense, Will, but I think I want Warriors Thunder. I think that to me, seeing Shea versus Steph, that might be like a passing of the torch that LeBron and AD can't figure out. Like, that is, to me, I think that might be a short series, but I think that would be a fun series. You know, Draymond trying to get in the heads of these young Thunder players and everything. Like, I think there's always a little PTSD of Klay going off in a game against the Thunder. I think for me, that's the most fun outcome of all this. Even though I love this Pelicans team, I would love to see them actually make a deep run in the playoffs, because I do believe, but I think missing out on that sixth seed kind of ends that for him.
Yeah, Bucks Heat is kind of that's what I've been banking on all year, is that
it sucks,
we were gonna
get Bucks annoying. Cowards.
I almost want to see the Heat beat the Sixers in the play-in, because I think that Boston and Philly,
that's another good one. Yeah, that's another good one. Yeah.
That could be an epic back and forth series. I mean, and Philly, because of Embiid, I think is uniquely positioned to be able to kind of hammer the Celtics a little bit inside and would make them have to work a little bit harder.
Yeah.
And then I want the Warriors to make the playoffs because I like to see Steph Curry do stuff.
Right.
And so them against the Thunder, that'd be, I'm sure a lot of Thunder fans would love to, it would be a little bit cathartic.
Yes.
To beat the Warriors in five games.
Now, what if the Warriors win that first game? Then what happens in that arena? Wow. That might get a little tight, but I think the Thunder would beat them. Yeah.
Will, listen, I just want to say it's clear that you guys hate Herb Jones. You don't respect the not on her movement.
I'm not
which is
even
fine.
Considering him for all defense. No, that's not true. That's not true.
It's clear. It's fine. Listen, just like the Kobe fans are on me, the Herb Jones fans are going to be on y'all. So shout out to y'all mentions. But no, I want to see Zion versus Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. I want to see, we keep talking about what the NBA is going to look like post LeBron, post Steph Curry. I think this is potentially one of the type of rivalries we need to keep an eye on. Shea versus Zion. Can these two guys ascend to potentially be those next faces of the NBA? Can they have the playoff success to kind of earn that respect? And I think this is going to be their first opportunity to really do that as the faces of their franchise, as the guys who are going to be, you know, on the graphic on TNT, who Charles Barkley are going to be talking about those guys at halftime. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for those guys. And I want to see these young guys really establish themselves. I can't wait to see what Ant can do this playoffs. I can't wait to see, you know, what Chet Holmgren can do in these playoffs. I think it's a fun time for the NBA to have all these young guys on the rise. And I don't want to see Steph Curry and Draymond Green do it for the 11th time. I want to see some young dudes get their chance, unlike y'all.
It's
shout out to Herb Jones and all the Herb Jonesites.
Shout out to Herb Jones. Probably first team just to avoid the smoke. But I so badly wanted Wolves Pelicans as the 3-6 matchup. I thought that would have been so much fun in the first round because both those teams kind of need that, like as younger teams to like get over that hump and get through a first round. I badly wanted that. I'm annoyed that the Lakers came through and did what they keep doing to the Pelicans.
Yeah, and there's like some quiet, you know, beef with the Timberwolves and the Pels. There's a lot of former Pels employees who work for the Timberwolves. Chris Finch, of course, was the lead assistant under Alvin Gentry back in the day. I think he enjoys whenever he can kind of rub the Pels' face in the sand like the Lakers do. Of course, Nikhil Alexander Walker was my guy who played with the Pelicans, got drafted with Zion. So, yeah, I think those two teams enjoy playing against each other. And, of course, there's the Anthony Edwards versus Zion thing that I think a lot of Pelicans fans still remember that moment last year where Zion walks up to after the game and says, "Hooper to Hooper, great game." I think a lot of Pelicans fans do not enjoy that moment. I think they're going to be mad at me for bringing that up. But, yeah, I would have really enjoyed that. And I had a conversation with a Timberwolves employee a few weeks ago, and I don't know if he's going to be mad at me for sharing this, but he actually told me, "We really don't want to see y'all in the first round."
I think that's verbatim. A weird matchup for them. I think it's a weird matchup for them. Yeah, for sure.
I think they're pretty happy about dodging the Pelicans.
Zion and Rudy is always interesting when it's so on the court. It's always interesting.
And Jonas versus Rudy would be a funny matchup. Jonas is so physical. Rudy, you know, doesn't love that necessarily. I think I think there would be some beefing, but you heard it here first. Will just said that Zion for Cat this summer gonna happen. Lock it in, and they're gonna throw Herb Jones in there. So be mad at Will, not at Zach Harper.
How's the food up there in Minneapolis?
They've got great restaurants in Minneapolis, man. Yeah, amazing restaurants, especially around the arena. Like that is a great food city. It's not New Orleans, but that's a great food city.
Okay, yeah, right.
Absolutely.
You look at the global warming map, and Minneapolis looks like a nice place to live in 10 years.
Hey, man, you get those winters out of there, I will live there full time. I love that city so much.
Schleck, I'll see you in Bricktown, brother.
Nobody goes to Bricktown. Yeah. Hey, I'm taking Schleck's job today. Nobody goes to Bricktown.
He'll see him there because he's going to cover the Warriors during that first round. That's going to do it for us. For Will Giller, for Day 24, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked on The Athletic.